Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So we finished off last week with some similes and descriptions of the mindfulness being this governing principle, or being in a supervisory role, and read the sutta from Sutta Nipata, where the Buddha compares mindfulness to a goad. That a farmer uses to poke a beast of burden that's become distracted from its task, and will continue on. And saying other similes for the role of mindfulness are more complex. For instance, and this is the quote that the whole chapter begins with, from Anguttara 7's, and as I said, as Ajahn Jeff has, as Sutta number 63, Bhikkhu Bodhi has it as Sutta number 67. Just as a royal frontier fortress has a gatekeeper, wise, experienced, intelligent, to keep out those he doesn't know and to let in those he does, for the protection of those within and to ward off those without. In the same way, a disciple of the noble ones is mindful, endowed with excellent proficiency in mindfulness, remembering and recollecting what was done and said a long time ago. With mindfulness as his gatekeeper, the disciple of the noble ones abandons what is unskillful, develops what is skillful, abandons what is blameworthy, develops what is blameless, and looks after himself with purity. This simile shows how mindfulness brings three sorts of memory to bear on the present moment. Remembering the need to protect the fortress corresponds to remembering motivation. Knowing how to recognize friends from potential enemies corresponds to remembering the proper framework to apply to a given situation. Remembering to admit friends and exclude strangers corresponds to remembering what to do in any given situation in light of that framework. Actually keeping out the potential enemies corresponds to subduing greed and distress with reference to the world. Another simile indicates that the role of mindfulness is to remember what to look for in the present moment, so that adjustments can be made to help the mind settle down pleasantly in concentration. And this quote is from Sanyutta Nikaya 47, Sutta number 8. Now suppose that there is a wise, experienced, skillful cook who has presented a king or a king's minister with various kinds of curry, mainly sour, mainly bitter, mainly peppery, mainly sweet, alkaline or non-alkaline, salty or non-salty. He picks up on the theme, and that is the nimitta, the sign or the signal, picks up on the theme of his master, thinking, today my master likes this curry, or he reaches out for that curry, or he takes a lot of this curry, or he praises that curry. Today my master likes mainly sour curry. Today my master likes mainly bitter curry. Today mainly peppery curry, mainly sweet curry, alkaline curry, non-alkaline curry, salty curry. Today my master likes non-salty curry, and he reaches out for non-salty curry. Or he takes a lot of non-salty curry. Or he praises non-salty curry. As a result, he is rewarded with clothing, wages, and gifts. Why is that? Because the wise, experienced, skillful cook picks up on the theme of his own master. In the same way, there is the case where a wise, experienced, skillful monk remains focused on the body in and of itself, focused on feelings in and of themselves, focused on the mind in and of itself, focused on mental qualities in and of themselves, ardent, alert, and mindful, subduing greed and distress with reference to the world. As he remains thus focused on mental qualities, or as body, feelings, mind, focused on mental qualities in and of themselves, his mind becomes concentrated. His defilements are abandoned. He picks up on that theme. As a result, he is rewarded with a pleasant abiding here and now, together with mindfulness and alertness. Why is that? Because the wise, experienced, skillful monk picks up on the theme of his own mind. And I think it's interesting to, I want to note when the Buddha says that he is rewarded with a pleasant abiding here and now, that is often equated with the four jhanas. Say the experience of samadhi in different stages of concentration, and also that, of course, the developing of the four satipatthanas is, oftentimes it's pointed out and emphasized how much the four satipatthana are the basis of insight and understanding, but that also the experience of samadhi or of tranquility of concentration, these are also part of the fruits of satipatthana practice. And that it's not separate. And then Ajahn Jeff goes on with a commentary. Of course, the cook in this simile is not simply watching his master; he is also adjusting his cooking to please him, so as to gain a reward of clothing, wages, and gifts. In this way, this simile also illustrates the three types of memory appropriate to right mindfulness. Remembering the motivation for seeing things in line with the framework of right view, remembering what is significant to look for in terms of that framework, and remembering what right effort should do in response to what is significant. Okay, any questions, comments?
Since the reward for the monk is one, a peaceful abide, a pleasant abiding here now, and the second one is, the second part is alertness, and was it?
Well, he picks up on that theme. As a result, he is rewarded with a pleasant abiding here now, together with mindfulness and alertness, so that sati sampajanya, and that is a. Those are of course, there is the, the pleasant abiding here now, the actual settling of the mind, but then it's accompanied with. It's not just a, and I think that's another illustration where these are put together. Because sometimes there is the caution that, you don't want to be spending too much developing samadhi because you're just sort of closed off and concentrated, one-pointed, and it's not really developing the mindfulness and satipatthana. But this is obvious that these go together, they function together. it is possible. There's in the same way that there's right mindfulness and wrong mindfulness, there's right concentration and there's wrong concentration. So that, and that's one of the, say like Ajahn Mun, criticizing Ajahn Mahabua for developing sort of his meditation like a tree stump, sort of a tree stump samadhi. Sort of. So that was not that's not the kind of say pleasant abiding here and now that the Buddha is talking about in this case. Also, that the sutta in the Anguttara Fours, where the Buddha points out the four, goals or functions of samadhi, or results of samadhi. So the first one being a pleasant abiding here and now, which is equated with the jhanas. Second one is knowledge and vision, so abhinya, having kind of special knowledge and vision, and different understandings, and different powers, as a function of samadhi, and then mindfulness and alertness, and the fourth one being the ending of the asanas, and then each one has a particular focus. I can't remember what the focus is for the, but I think it might be just a description of the jhanas for knowledge and vision, the focus is to picking up the perception of light, and then developing that the light nimitta, and then using that as your stepping stone into different abhinyas or superior knowledges. Third one, the focus for mindfulness and alertness, is to know the arising, establishing, and ceasing of feeling, of perception, of thought, where one directs one's attention, and then for the ending of the asavas, is the attention to the arising and ceasing of the five khandhas, four, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness, as the basis of insight into relinquishing the attachment to these roots of defilement.
Or also remembering that fourth one as well, it's, I think the cause is included. It may even be the four noble truths. It's a little vague, but I was struck by the similarity between the third and the fourth when I read that.
Right.
And I was sort of really thinking about it. Well, what's the difference?
Right,
and
right.
I was thinking, one thing that I did observe is that it seemed like the cause was more emphasized in that fourth, meaning somehow like paying attention to the arising, establishing, and passing away of thoughts, feelings, and perceptions,
right,
wasn't quite as deep as understanding the causal links and processes that bring out the khandhas.
Right. To me, how I kind of interpreted or felt about it was that mindfulness and clear comprehension seeing this process of the mind, but then with the relinquishing of the asavas, it's the basis of identity of the, because when when the Buddha speaks of the establishing of insight into relinquishment, it's all around that sense of the establishing of identity. So like that Sakkaya Ditti is rooted in the khandhas, and that identity with the khandhas. Okay, monks, it's great to have this rifle. There are these four developments of concentration. Which four? There's development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to a pleasant abiding here and now. There's the development of concentration that, when development and pursued, leads to attainment of knowledge and vision. The development of concentration leads to mindfulness and alertness. Development of concentration leads, and when it's developed and pursued, leads to the ending of the effluence. And then it's just the first one, pleasant abiding here, is the case for a monk, and it's a classic description of the jhanas, quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first jhana, rapture and bliss. So then it goes through the classic description of that. The attainment of knowledge vision is a case where a monk attends to the perception of light and is resolved on the perception of daytime at any hour of the day. Day for him is the same as night. Night is the same as day. By means of an awareness open and unhampered, he develops a brightened mind. This is development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to the attainment of knowledge and vision. Development of concentration, when developed and pursued, leads to mindfulness and alertness. There's the case where feelings are known to the monk as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. Perceptions are known as to him as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. Thoughts are known to him as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. This is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to mindfulness and alertness. And what is the development of concentration? When developed and pursued, leads to the ending of the asavas. There's the case where a monk remains focused on arising and falling away with reference to the five clinging aggregates, or the upadana khanda. Such is form, such its origination, such its passing away. Such is feeling, such is its origination, such its passing away. Such is perception, such its origination, such its passing away. Such are fabrications, the sankharas, such their origination, such the passing away. Such is consciousness, such is origination, such its disappearance. This is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to the ending of the asavas. These are the four developments of concentration. And it was in connection with this that I stated in Punika's question, in the way, this is where sometimes sometimes in the suttas, the Buddha is referring to teachings that he's already given in some of the older strata of the Tipitaka, so that it's you get a feel that, okay, this is really what the Buddha said, what he taught. So it was in connection with this that I stated in Punika's question in the way to the far shore, Sutta Nipata 5, Sutta number 3. He who has fathomed the far and near in the world, for whom there is nothing perturbing in the world, his vices evaporated, undesiring, untroubled, at peace, he, I tell you, has crossed over birth and aging. Very beautiful, beautiful sutta. I think we'll leave it there.
Questions?
Hmm?
Close.
Thanks. we can close, yeah, unless there's any further questions.